Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoeconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome to another Cryptoeconomy Quick Read. I've decided to go ahead and read Nopara's article today about Schnorr signatures just to stay on topic. And he is the guy to talk to about privacy, as he is the creator and developer or lead developer on Hidden Wallet and has also worked extensively with Tumblebit, as well as he wrote an article series explaining Tumblebit and its implications and different advances to come to that protocol in the future, which is something I may eventually hit with this podcast. But for right now, we are going to read Nopara73's article titled Privacy and Schnorr Signatures. Will it improve or harm privacy? First of all, I don't know. I will present you both sides of the coin and let you come to an immature prediction by yourself. If you don't know how to do that, don't worry. You can use my immature speculation as a starting point and only modify it where I am wrong. Sam Wouters just published an excellent article on how Schnorr signatures will help Bitcoin to scale and make some form of spamming uneconomical. Quote, why Schnorr signatures will help solve two of Bitcoin's biggest problems today. I will write about the privacy aspect, which he did not discuss, despite that it is often cited when discussing the benefits of Schnorr. Quick recap. Luckily, in order to discuss privacy, we only need to understand the basic idea of Schnorr signatures and don't need to go into any technical details, since it's all about incentives. As you can see from the illustration, when you have more red boxes on the left side, with Schnorr signatures, it's enough to provide only one signature. But make no mistake, signatures are pretty heavy in terms of bytes, which ultimately determines how much fees you will pay for the transaction. Note the red boxes are inputs and the green ones are outputs, but you can simply and incorrectly think of them as addresses. In order to understand the rest of the article, also note that there can be more green boxes on the right side within one transaction, not only one, like this. The takeaway is, with Schnorr, it becomes more economical to make a payment with your buddies together than making payments one by one. The case for privacy. You might have heard about CoinJoin before. This protocol was scratched up by Gregory Maxwell, and as far as I know, the only working implementation today of it is JoinMarket. In the past, blockchain.info had a service based on it called SharedCoin, and there's Mycelium's implementation, ShufflePuff, which I believe its development has been discontinued due to their failed crowdfunding. Also, Dark Wallet was doing something with it, but its main dev, Amir Taki, flew to Syria to fight ISIS. Not sure if you've noticed it, but I probably just listed all the main Bitcoin privacy projects of pre-2016. So yes, CoinJoin's hype just started to decline recently, but Schnorr might turn that around. How? CoinJoin joins coins together. As you could see, if you join coins together while using Schnorr, you'd pay less fees. So far, sounds great, right? It indeed does, but there are some issues with CoinJoin. The long list of discontinued projects is no coincidence. First, coordination between parties is difficult. Second, great initial liquidity is needed. And third, it's only private when the amounts are the same. In other words, if you want to send 0.1234 Bitcoin via CoinJoin to someone, you need to find a couple of other people who happen to also want to spend 0.1234 Bitcoin in the same time, and then you can join together your coins. The various CoinJoin schemes partially hack around this problem. And with Schnorr, low fees will incentivize people to join and eventually overcome their liquidity problems, right? Right. But the case against privacy. But it might even provide a greater incentive that's not only not great for privacy, but also not great for innovation. Schnorr gives an advantage to wallets with the greatest liquidities with the easiest coordination mechanisms, like blockchain.info. In order for Schnorr to lower fees, you don't actually need privacy. You don't need the amounts to match, like in CoinJoin. You can simply join inputs together and voila, fees are lower. But you still need to fix the first and second issues of CoinJoin, liquidity and coordination. And guess what? Blockchain.info already solved the first one, and how hard could it be for them to coordinate its users to join their inputs together when the only thing that doesn't happen on their central server is generating the private keys? Oh, but there is more. Remember, they already have a lot of experience doing this via shared coin, which they turned off because of legal reasons, I suppose. Still, the experience is there. Sure, blockchain analysis companies will have a harder job in guessing which inputs belong to which users, but does it matter at this point? Blockchain.info will just take the place of blockchain analysis companies and sell the information themselves. The only difference is what they know is 100% accurate. I admit this was a little too pessimistic. There are still many more unknown variables, so take my predictions with a grain of salt. Final predictions. At this point, this is how I see the Schnorr incentive game playing out. 1. CoinJoin and similar privacy-oriented projects start utilizing this. In the same time, exchanges and centralized services start paying out their customers with Schnorr. They are already joining coins together, so not much work to add. 2. Blockchain.info and similar semi-centralized wallets with great liquidity will utilize Schnorr to provide the lowest fees possible, and at this time they very possibly conquer the market. 3. Finally, the rest of the wallets catch up. This won't be that easy because the less centralized you are, the harder it is to solve coordination. 4. If Schnorr doesn't get obsoleted by an unforeseen event, Potcoin kills Bitcoin, then some cyberpunk will come up with a decentralized crypto magic to coordinate input joining within the next few decades that will eventually win. And that will conclude Nopara's take on the privacy implications of Schnorr and whether or not it will incentivize CoinJoin. Now, it may just be the age of this article, but it makes me, it's interesting that he didn't talk about the multi-signature aspects of Schnorr signatures. Is with all the privacy, I mean, he's right about the incentives that he laid out in his article, that right now it seems like, oh, everybody's going to use CoinJoin now that we have Schnorr because aggregating signatures is cheaper. But at the same time, you can also aggregate signatures just by using a blockchain.info wallet. Like if that company implements Schnorr signatures, well, you're getting the same efficiency and space savings just by aggregating signatures without gaining any privacy benefit or CoinJoin. And CoinJoin or ShufflePuff or Zerolink, all of these protocols that actually add privacy still have the other two major hurdles to overcome, which are coordination and a liquidity. There's still plenty of hurdles to overcome, but it does represent a huge efficiency that the cost has been part of the prohibitive nature of some of the privacy options out there. But another point on the implications of Schnorr and multi-signature agreements is that by default, Schnorr signature essentially hides all of the parties involved in some multi-signature agreement. So it's not merely that you're joining transactions together in order to save space, but you're also obscuring, just kind of by default, any complex arrangement going on with signatures, because you can always shrink everything down to a single Schnorr signature. And you don't necessarily need to know that there are 20 signatures behind it if only one or two inputs end up being involved in the final transaction. So I think that's a big, improvement, especially considering that multi-signature and really complex signature arrangements are going to be a big part of this ecosystem. And we're building kind of the, you know, base Lego blocks to put all this stuff together, but Lightning Network is another big piece of this. And being able to aggregate those multi-sig agreements and escrows more efficiently with smaller signature sizes, I think, is going to be a great thing toward incentivizing privacy, whether or not it does so with CoinJoin specifically or something similar. But regardless, the dominant advantage of Schnorr signatures is efficiency. It just costs less and requires less information to do the exact same job as it did before, which is great. All right, but that should do it for our quick read today. Don't forget to follow at Nopara73, and I'll be sure to link to his Medium blog. He's a great resource if you're trying to read about Tumblebit, Zero Link, which he's working on, and Hidden Wallet. He's always got great articles about privacy in general. That seems to be his go-to thing. So definitely check him out. Highly recommend it. Also, don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Medium at The Crypto Economy. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And don't forget to share it with your friends. But that will be all, and we will catch you guys tomorrow with another Crypto Economy Quick Read. Take it easy.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.